It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent, and this is your chance to share your favorite story about your favorite music teacher and the difference that they made in your life. The 2022 Wisconsin State Music Conference begins today and runs through Saturday in Madison. The conference is produced by the Wisconsin School Music Association and the Wisconsin Music Educators Association, and our guest is currently the executive director of both. But we also want to hear from you this morning. Tell us the name of the music teacher you wish everyone could learn from and what you learned from them. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email always available anytime, ideas@WPR.org. Lori Fellens is the executive director of the Wisconsin School Music Association and the Wisconsin Music Educators Association. And Lori, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here this morning representing our incredible music educators across the state of Wisconsin.
So before I ask you what music educators learn from their students, what would you say that students learn from music education?
I think the most important thing students learn from music education is how to belong to something bigger than yourself and how working together with others can really be life-changing.
Harmony, in other words, that you can't have harmony.
Absolutely.
You can't have that all by yourself. It takes more than one person to create harmony or more than one sound. So, Lori, then what do the music teachers learn from those students?
Oh, you know, I think always teachers have learned from their students, but in the times we're living in now, our students have access to technology and resources in and through music education that they bring right into the classroom. I think the other big part is their own cultures and their own values that they bring to that space.
Yeah, and I mean, something that I would think, at least in my experience way back in the day in the classroom, wouldn't necessarily be something that every subject would invite others and their experiences, their life, and their background into. But I understand music educators are looking to broaden the scope of music education. And so what are the requirements in Wisconsin? What are the offerings in Wisconsin? And where do you see us falling short, Lori?
Yeah. In Wisconsin, we're really fortunate that music is part of the Wisconsin legislative code. So in Wisconsin, it is required for school districts to provide a well-rounded music education to every kindergarten through sixth grade student. And when they reach seventh grade, that access needs to continue. Instrumental, choral, and what we call general, which is the ever increasing areas of the technology pieces, but I think where we may be falling short at times is students seeing themselves in all of the offerings and in all of the experiences within their school. So we need to make sure our kids have the opportunity to be in ensembles, which have been historically the dominant way students have experienced secondary music, but also spaces where they can create with other tools such as technology.
So this is going beyond choir and orchestra and traditional band. This is looking at technology as an instrument, technology as a way of expressing yourself?
Yeah, technology both is a tool, but it's also becoming the instrument itself. The students with access to one-to-one devices in schools, Chromebooks and such, they have the ability right from their own computers and phones to create. And then in schools that are starting to build digital media labs, just expand that to a whole new level.
We're talking about the state of music education in Wisconsin with Lori Fellens, who is a music educator and leading a statewide music education conference, which runs today through October 29th. And if you've had experience with your music educators that you'd care to share this morning, we invite you to the conversation at 800-642-1234 or ideas@WPR.org. And Lori, educators are hoping to embrace diverse cultures, but how do you want music education to change to be more inclusive? What can we do to invite more people in, as you say?
Well, I think we need to make sure that we're centering diverse voices and that we're inviting culture bearers in to share their musics with us. We have worked with Wisconsin Public Television, which is now PBS Wisconsin, to create the Resound Sounds of Wisconsin project. How do we invite the voices in from diverse culture bearers, and then also center students' voices within that.
Tell us more about the Resound Sounds of Wisconsin with PBS Wisconsin. What is that?
Yeah, in 2018, we surveyed over 385 general music teachers in the state of Wisconsin. And what they told us is that they needed more current and authentic culturally diverse resources to support their teaching. And so we've created a 4-part multimedia collection with interviews and videos of Wisconsin musicians. And at the conference, we're getting ready to announce the next 2 videos that will be released shortly. So we're super excited about that. And there's curriculum that goes along with mm-hmm. that, and it's available free off the PBS website.
Lori, should Wisconsin music classes be expanding to teach genres such as hip hop, gospel, dance hall, reggae?
Absolutely. And I think, again, it's really important as teachers move into those spaces that they bring in those whose musics those are, you know, as a regular practicing musician. So it's really important as music educators that we're expanding into all genres and bringing them all to our students, but being sensitive to the fact that we need to center the voices of those who make those musics.
Lori Fellin's our guest, and we're talking about the state of music education in Wisconsin. And Lori, at this week's conference, 2 of the speakers, as I understand it, are planning to talk about social-emotional learning and music. How are these things related?
Well, social-emotional learning in music, they go hand in hand. When we think about self-awareness and social awareness, relationship skills, and just self-management and being responsible in making decisions, those go hand in hand with creating performing. So we're bringing in several speakers on this topic, including Dr. Scott Edgar and Dr. Urell Ashley, who will be with us as a featured speaker at this event. They both work for the Center for Arts Education and Social Emotional Learning.
So what are some examples of how music teachers use social emotional learning in the classroom?
Well, I think it begins on day one when we're trying to build that community within music classrooms, whether it's an ensemble classroom or a classroom, let's say, where students are all playing guitar, that ability to be self-aware and socially aware as we're making music with others. And to your point, harmony, to get to the point where we're creating harmony together, we really need to be making decisions collectively.
How are you going to be able to belt it out if you don't know how you feel first? There is a certain sort of emotional learning that perhaps you take for granted in music, because expressing yourself comes with at least knowing how you're feeling before you begin to open your mouth. At least that's the way I start to think about it, the way you explain it, Lori.
Absolutely. And that, you know, the big piece is that sense of belonging. Mm. We need to support our students with creating those communities.
Lori Fellens is the executive director of the Wisconsin School Music Association and the Wisconsin Music Educators Association, and the two organizations co-produce the annual Wisconsin State Music Conference, which gets underway today in Madison and runs through the weekend. And you can join us with your stories about music educators and what you learned in the classroom, whether it be harmony or even dissonance, at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this year's Wisconsin State Music Conference gets underway today in Madison. Our guest, Lori Fellens, has been in music education for more than 30 years. Before leading the Wisconsin School Music Association and the Wisconsin Music Educators Association, she was a music teacher and a fine arts coordinator for the Madison Metropolitan School District. And if you have music educator stories this morning, we're here to share at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. And Lori, the story from a couple years ago, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported schools with more black and brown students have less access to certified music teachers and music programs. And so when we look at the statewide across Wisconsin, how is access to music education different across the state?
Yeah, you know, the Milwaukee Public Schools has done a fantastic job of getting a policy in place. We see access growing in Milwaukee because of the proactive work that they've done with their school board to ensure that every student in Milwaukee Public Schools will have access to music education. There are other places in our state where we don't see that policy in place. And so there are times where our students are not getting that well-rounded education the way that the Wisconsin legislative code intends. And so it's really important that we work collectively. And our organization is here to support music educators statewide with making sure music stays strong in all areas of our state.
Are there big reasons you see as to why access to music education would be limited in some areas in Wisconsin?
Well, I think in music education and all of education, the teacher retention and recruitment issue is really critical right now. Mm. We need to make sure we have access to trained music educators who are licensed to really support our students in the classroom. And in some areas of the state, they're challenged to fill some of those positions at times.
So before your leadership roles with Wisconsin School Music Association, Wisconsin Music Educators Association, you were a music educator yourself for more than 30 years. What got you into it, Lori? And what kept you there for so long?
Oh, what got me into it was my music teachers creating that sense of belonging and space for me to learn in that community. And that is something that I've always wanted to see all students have access to. So it was really simple. It was my own music education that got me into music education.
And what kept you there was that feeling of extending that to everybody, especially those who feel like they might not fit in, those who feel like they're on the periphery of something or feel other than, that music is a way to bring everybody in.
Absolutely. And for me, even in the role I currently play, the students are at the center of every decision I make. And I am still a teacher at heart, even though I'm working with their teachers now. But the students are the reason.
Is it difficult to retain music teachers in Wisconsin, Lori?
Well, I think in communities where educators are valued and are respected and being paid for their services in a way that values their expertise, we're seeing thriving music programs. I do think in some communities where the teachers are not feeling valued, we are not seeing teachers stay. And then you start that revolving door of people in and out, which makes it really, really difficult to build those classrooms our kids deserve.
So you focus on the students always, but do you ever have parents come to you and they're like, my kid has been practicing this instrument for like a semester and I don't think they're getting any better at the instrument. What do you tell them? Or are there other things to learn besides necessarily, you know, how to play an instrument in music education?
Well, I think that's our conference is a great example of that with shifting paradigms in music education. I think it's really important that students see themselves in the classroom and the work they're doing. And sometimes there's a different way to make music that once we've explored with a student and one way is not working, we need to try a different way. And we need to have classrooms where their voice is centered.
So it's not necessarily about changing the students so much as changing the way that the classroom looks to the students so that they are invited to be a part of it.
Absolutely. It's a culture and a community. And I strongly believe every student has the ability to create in and through music. It's helping them find those pathways to doing that. That is the job of the music educator.
We're talking about the expanding scope of music education in Wisconsin with Lori Fellens. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin School Music Association and the Wisconsin Music Educators Association, with their conference underway beginning today in Madison. And we invite you to the conversation about education access, inviting everybody to be a part at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're Kevin in Janesville standing by. Kevin, good morning. You're on the air with Lori Fellens.
I am a public school math teacher and a personal private musician. I routinely use music in the classroom, both for the sound, the background, the work sound. I refer to music, whole notes, quarter notes, half notes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You can't overestimate the impact on our reading and math programs as well when we hook kids into the classroom with music and fine arts. So everybody, please vote for those people that are going to keep those programs alive. Thank you.
And that's coming from a math teacher. But there is a math and music that is some, and some would consider perfect, some would think otherworldly. But, you know, for the guys that think you only have to count to four in music, you've got a lot to learn. But that's a, you know, that's a public school teacher in a core area who understands the power of music in terms of their core area, Lori.
Yeah, you know, arts integration and arts enhanced instruction are another area of access our students really need. And I was really great to hear from a math teacher who's using music as a vehicle within the math class to really support student learning.
Kevin, thank you for the call at 1-800-642-1234. And Lori, some schools in the state are cutting music programs or reducing time spent in music classes and citing the funds as a reason why. How has funding to music education changed, and what does that mean in the big picture of things as you see it?
Well, funding in education in general is a significant issue, and that funding to music education is critical to continue to allow our students that access to well-rounded education that they are guaranteed by federal legislation. And one of the things our WMEA does brilliantly under the leadership of our current president, Brad Schneider, and our advocacy chair, Will Jansen, is to advocate for legislation that keeps funding in music education and all of education strong. It's really important that both statewide and federal funding is there to guarantee well-rounded education.
Let's continue with your calls this morning as we celebrate our music educators and what they have to teach that goes well beyond just music itself. Beth joins us in Fountain City this morning. Beth, you're on the air with Lori Fellens.
Hi. So my daughter is deaf. And she has cochlear implants, but that doesn't allow you to hear pitch necessarily. And so she wanted to do choir, and I talked to the director and I said, you know, this is never going to be good. and they said, music's for everyone. And she had just had a powerful impact on my daughter. And when I offered to, you know, like keep her home on, you know, solo and ensemble or contest, large group contest days, they're like, nope. And they just talked to the adjudicators and said, look, we have this little girl in our program that is deaf and she makes music with us, and just don't count it against us. And the adjudicators were always wonderful. And then when it was time to do drama and do the musical, I just went to the drama instructor. I said, here's the deal. You put in the extra work for my daughter who's deaf and I'll do your costumes. and so my daughter's graduated from high school. I will tell you, the first thing she bought with her first job was season tickets to the Broadway shows at the Overture Center in Madison. And she's graduated, and she and I still go back and do costumes for the musicals. So it was just an amazing thing. And then when I was a kid and I took piano lessons and the money for piano lessons ran out, my piano teacher let me babysit for her children in exchange for my piano lessons, and just super huge impact on my life because of that.
Yeah, it's amazing what music can do. It happens to be a little bit of magic, doesn't it, Beth?
It sure does.
With a little bit of help, a musician or magicians who just happen to be music educators, and Beth's case, her daughter's choir teacher, made all the difference in the world. And something you can't actually, I don't think, would ever end up on an SAT or an ACT, Lori Fellens, but something that makes a world of difference in the rest of these people's lives.
Yeah, those things that can't be tested in those ways are often the most powerful parts of our education. That was just amazing. And that is how it should work, that all students have access.
For each and every one of them. Beth, as we go forward and we look at the future of education in Wisconsin and what you would advocate for, the case that you would make for music education as a priority in Wisconsin, what is it? Lori Fellens is the executive director of the Wisconsin School Music Association, the Wisconsin Music Educators Association. And thank you so much for joining us this morning, Lori.
Absolutely. It was really an honor to be here. And we appreciate having the opportunity to talk about music education today.
Absolutely. With the conference going on through this weekend in Madison, and thanks to Beth and Kevin for calling in as well. We have a link to the Wisconsin State Music Conference website up at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.